And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Cereal Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Cereal Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Ms. Penny Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida, and in just a moment we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Vista Viejo, California. And this week we will be joined by a very special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Miss Elvira of Elvira.com in Forestville, California. And together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. And you can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, then called into the show, well, you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi. Thank you so much for that nice, slow introduction, because I ran all the way here.
Yes, ma'am.
And if you did, if you'd done that any faster, I'd still be panting. Well... I just want to, I was out of breath. We've had a busy, busy day. As some of you know, I posted in Facebook, I've been making oils all morning with Yose and Brian and Heidi particularly, and we have been, wow, it's been something. I smell like mint. I spilled
mint
all over
great.
My hands. I know, I'm like, mint, I had at least 30 different oils going through my hands today.
Wow.
These would be essential oils that I'm blending to make the stock oils, to make the perfume oils and the bath crystals and the incense powders and the sachet powders and to dress candles. But they have to be made out of stock oils. And I spilt the mint on my hand.
Oh.
And wow! I can breathe really clear now. And I'm telling you, it's something. Phew! I can't say that mint has ever been my, you know, go-to favorite scent, but you never, never mistake when it's in the house. And we had, to, besides all that, while I'm running around smelling up the whole world of mint, I mean, I like dosed everybody in the universe with it. Now, that was on top of, you know, the rose geranium and the lemon and all the other nice little nicey sage and all that. No, it's all been subsumed by mint. But and rosewood, even the vetiver, all gone, all mint. And then Oberon Zell and his fantastic crew of friends showed up, and I had to give hugs. And I'm like, oh no, I'm going to contaminate these people. And they're all like, oh no, we like it. So they all got big mint hugs, and that's why I was late getting in here. Phew. Ah, very busy day. And I tell you, if it has mint in it and you buy it, you'll know it's fresh because everything's got mint in it. Right? No, I didn't mix it into anything I shouldn't have, but boy, if you come in the shop, you'll think you're in a peppermint factory or a spearmint factory. Okay. Wow. I mean, I can hardly breathe. I'm telling you. Okay. My hands.
Overpower.
My hands are like aliens from outer space. They're completely mint-like. It's
You've been minty busy.
Oh no. This is not your nice little. I'd like a little mint caffeine penguin caffeinated peppermint drop. This is like my hands. They're attacking. Okay. Lord have mercy. I don't even know if I can hold the phone. I mean, it's like holding the phone. It's like it's the mint. Okay. Whew. Better take another deep. I can't. If I take a deep breath, more mint. Okay.
It's become overpowering now.
It's more than overpowering. It's.
I'll get
it's
you a
like,
warm towel during the break.
Yeah, warm towels, please.
Yeah.
No, I spilled it all over my left hand up to my wrist. That's okay. What happened. It is a hazard, and I was working fast, and I goofed, you know what happens. All righty, and not only that, folks, I did it because I was trying to work real fast and make myself a little space. I did it in the lab and in the shipping department. They all smell like mint now, too. Too bad. Yeah, everybody's going to be happy as heck.
Draw success.
Well, mint is very protective.
Yeah.
It actually is very cleansing, very protective. I'll shut up now. I don't think I can breathe much more. Hi, Ollie. How are you doing?
Hello. I don't smell like mint.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing well. It's been a fantastic start to the new year. Personally, even if there are more wider problems in the world, if you will, for people that don't follow the news, there's some tragic events going on, and our hearts go out to everyone who's either lost someone or who are dealing with the type of tragic events that are going on. But we're not going to bog things down with politics. I just wanted to throw that out there. For me personally, it has been a good start to the new year. Lots of new clients, lots of returning old clients, and you know what? People are still asking for live readings. People are still asking for readings to kind of feel out what 2015 is offering for them. And I'm very excited to do those. It's probably some of the more fulfilling readings that I do. I love all types of readings. I love reading for any situation. But I really enjoy the type of life readings or yearly readings that people get because there's a sense of optimism. No matter how difficult the reading itself may provide, whatever answers they may provide, people come to you with a sense of optimism. Is 2015 going to be different? And what can I do to make 2015 different? So I've been busy with that, and of course lots of projects on my end. So if I can keep the momentum going, which is always, that's the trick, right? Everyone feels excited. It's like New Year's resolution. You're motivated for that first month, but the trick is to keep it going. So if I can keep, the energy going for all the projects that I have going on, 2015 is going to be a fantastic year. But so far, so good.
Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. Stay away from the mint, dear.
Stay away from the mint. I only drink mint tea from time to time.
I like mint tea. I like that, too. I don't know if I'm going to have any in the next couple of months until this wears off.
Yeah.
I don't need it. I just dip my hand in water. Just dip my hand in hot water, and I will have mint tea. Trust me.
That is too funny.
Yeah. I hear my dear Nagashiva bounding out of his radio room, and he's going down the hall. And, I know he's getting me a hot towel now. Thank God. Because I won't stop talking about it. It's like taking over my brain. We have a show for you today. And the show is featuring Miss Elvira. So we're going to bring her on in here. Miss Elvira is going to come to us. And the topic we're going to be discussing is harmony between the home and the workplace. So if you're in the chat room, be ready to chat on that topic. But let's get Miss Elvira in here. How are you doing, honey?
Welcome, Miss Elvira.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Ollie and Miss Kat. I really have had a busy beginning of the year, just like you, Ollie. It's been a lot of clients and trying to organize, what you're looking at in projects and shut down from the holidays. I finally got all the Christmas stuff moved out and back into the shed and I've got those things done. So my home feels more like, just like we're talking about here, my home feels more centered in the beginning of the new year. And that's really good. And then I just started working on my office to try and reorganize it a little bit, because this year I'm kind of changing up how I do work with my clients and things like that. So that, you know, like everything, you start out the new year, and as you say, you want to keep the momentum going.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously harmony between home and workplace is really important, because we've all been so centered on the holidays at our home that, you know, work has kind of been there, but it's not been as center as, you know, the things around the home and the family and stuff like that. So.
Well, you know, this is an interesting thing, because, you know, we do spend a lot of time at the, during the holidays in the home or with the family, and then we make all these resolutions, and then it's hard sometimes for people to kind of reengage and go back to the workplace. So it's a timely topic for this time of year, and. Let's talk for a minute about what this means. As usual, I have a little bit of something to say as an intro, and we'll see what we can say about this. The home is usually a place where we do most of our spiritual work. A few of us are privileged enough to have a workplace that is an occult shop, a candle shop, an herb shop, a massage parlor, whatever, that where you can do a little bit of this or that or the other, a little New Age shop, metaphysical bookstore, whatever it may be. Some of us do have those fortunate lives where we have a workplace that is in harmony naturally with our home. Some of us actually will displace some of our regular home work to the workplace. In other words, people who do their meditation while waiting for customers in their shop. And I know some who do that. Then they don't need to do meditation at home. They did it in the shop, right? Some of us are blessed or provident or lucky or planned it right, and their home and their shop are on the same piece of property. So there isn't even a commute. And that's like me. I worked very hard, and I'm going to say it was luck, but it was also planned for and prayed for and worked for many years, many iterations of always having my business and my home on the same property, if not in the same building, in a separate building. So no commute. Now, we all have our ways of doing this, and I'm not recommending that everyone choose a rural lifestyle and live, you know, and work out of your home, but many of us do. This show really isn't for us so much. Although there may be a high percentage of people here in this panel discussion who blend these things successfully, there are many more listening who will be listening who have experienced a big split. In the home, they may be practitioners of a religion. We'll just say Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Islam. When they go to the workplace, it's all majority atheist, or maybe it's all majority Protestant Christian, and they're not. They are not part of the holidays that are celebrated. They're not, whatever it may be, they may be a little out of step. Likewise, the work that is being done there may not be in tune with their spirituality. They may be, for instance, spiritually led toward equalitarianism, believing that people of all gender preferences should be treated equally, that people of all skin tones should be treated equally, but they get on a job where it ain't happening, and now they're caught. How are they going to either, can they fix the workplace? What if it's a 500-employee factory, or do they have to quit the job? I talk to people like this all the time, people who have a boss who is not the nicest person, but they need the job. People who have coworkers, and all those coworkers ever talk about is football, and yet this person's heart is in model railroading. Right? Can't wait to get home and have a little online discussion and chat with their model railroad friends, because everybody else is into football. Or vice versa. They're into football, they go to work, and their stupid employer is just talking about rural blues of the 1920s, and doesn't she know that the 49ers are in contention for something special? Right? And they're like, we can't talk about this with her here, because all she talks about is things like Memphis Minnie's guitar style. Right? So harmonizing the home and the workplace is different for everyone. It's different. And you can't always be the boss of everybody else's reality. Even if you're the boss of the job, you may find yourself having to harmonize other people's interests. So having said that, I'm going to turn this over to Miss Elvira. Tell me what you do to, because you are a fortunate one. You have a home where you can do the kind of beautiful spiritual work you want, and you have a job which also consists of spiritual work, except for that I know that you also shred our leftover papers. How do you, no, seriously, Elvira, if every piece of paper that is shredded, Elvira shreds it.
Well, I do that as a way. Now, there is a way to work your spirituality in, is that as I shred, I either am shredding mentally, you know, calling in the great god and goddess of shredding to shred my negativity, to shred my sorrow or sadness or dysfunctional situation that I personally may have, or that I'm working for my clients. Because to me, that I work for my clients all the time. But as you say, I'm fortunate to have this. I didn't before I came to work at Lucky Mojo, and I went back into doing readings full time. I worked in a corporate structure. I worked in a lumber company, one division of many, and they were very Roman Catholic Irishmen. But they were able to open up because I didn't challenge them. So I made my little desk and everything have all my little things that were very specific to my, you know, belief systems, and yet I kept it without being distinctly aggressive about how I, you know, had my own personal spiritual space. And they knew that at a certain point, if I was really upset, I would just say, I have to go take a walk, and that's exactly what I'd do. I'd plug in my iPod, and I'd walk around the huge parking lot that we had and do, you know, meditative walking. I found ways to work it in. As I say, now I do my work in either my home or my office, or I work with over at Lucky Mojo and work out of the church. I have many venues, and of course when I go visiting my daughter or various friends, I am a mobile individual, so I take my phone and my work, my cards, and I just happen to do that. But for people who don't, you know, I think finding a way to bridge the gap, you know, whether it's using simple things like, you know, plants in your office and little, you know, simple things that are not aggressive, whether it's a cross or it's the Star of David or it's a little Ganesh statue or something to remind you of what spirit is while you're doing what you're doing, and find ways to use what you're doing to augment your spiritual practice. And that way, like you say, people meditate while they're waiting for their client. Find a way to do that. It is challenging, and that's why they come to, you know, you or Kanchanman Ali or my other associates in AIR, not just because of certain specific things, but it becomes a sense of what do I do now? How do I make who I am stay balanced from where I am at home and where I am at work? And
I'm going to throw something in here too, because both you and I have used terms of thankfulness, you know, that we've been blessed, that we've been lucky, that this has happened. And, you know, we've also both pointed to jobs that we've had in the past that did not quite accord with our spiritual inclinations, but that were other types of work. Planning is a part of this, and so often I hear clients come to me because they know I'm a businesswoman, so they seek my help in business, and they'll say, I'm stuck. I have this job. I'm a bookkeeper. All I've ever really wanted to do is support myself with fill-in-the-blank metaphysical/spiritual career. Mm-hmm. How do I get to where you are, Miss Kat? And I tell them that it requires planning. But the first thing to do is not to flee where you are, but to bring harmony to where you are. Ali, you also live a somewhat double life. You're in the world of academia, and yet you are also a spiritual worker. How do you bring harmony between the two?
You know, this is a fantastic question and something very close to me. I am fortunate enough that the job that I'm a full-time root worker and professional, and I do what I love. But I didn't always. I did work, like Ms. Elvira mentioned, in a corporate environment at one point. But I think the key to this is, and she mentioned it, bringing something of your spirituality wherever you go. And it's going to sound terribly cliche, but it's true. At the end of the day, I really think it's about being yourself and finding what you love to do, finding what you enjoy and making that into a job. Not everyone is going to go and become a spiritual practitioner. I mean, we're talking about harmony as if everyone is going to work in a metaphysical environment. The reality is that not everyone will. Well, it's great. Some people want that. Not everyone does. Some people want their spirituality to be private, and they want to have a 9-to-5 job. That's fine. It wasn't for me. That's not, I don't do the 9-to-5. I never, you know, even in the corporate location, I did my own thing. Well, the key is to really find, if you're going to find harmony, it's about being surrounded by the right people. They don't all have to think like you. They don't all have to have the same interests as you. You can be interested in blues and they can be interested in football, and that's okay. It's not about even finding a job where you can be a metaphysical practitioner or you can be a spiritual practitioner. Not at all. It's about finding a place that you can be yourself, right? And you're accepted
right.
for that, where diversity is accepted. Mm-hmm. I was notorious when I worked at my retail location for doing things my own way. Now, mind you, I had fixed the place to the point where I could never get fired, so that I was a little, you know, I cheated, so to speak. But my coworkers were not interested in the things that I was interested, but we all managed to have dialogue and discourse and discussions. Now, it is about planning. How did I move on from that? I always planned that retail was something I did in my youth when I was younger, and it was meant to be a job that got me through college, and that's it. It was not meant to be my career. My career has always been, I'm doing what I want to do today, being a professional root worker, full-time, which I'm very fortunate to do, while also pursuing higher academia. The only reason I'm able to do that is because I planned for it, like you mentioned, that I took the steps to lead there, that I understood that it's not, you can't just dive in, right? And some people do that, and they go, well, what happened? Why is everything falling apart? It's about being sensible. It's about making sure that you can take that right step. You don't just, you know, go, you know, I'm going to ruin my source of income and dive in and do this one thing. No. You want to do this step by step, doing it with sensibility, doing it with patience, knowing that every step you take should be one step closer to your goal. And if you can do that, if you have a goal within your sight and you take it one step at a time, even if you in your current location are not in your most ideal job, you're still headed towards a place of harmony. And even that in of itself is fulfilling. The journey itself becomes an important part of it. And I think that's very important to remember. But again, your end goal may not be working in a metaphysical location. The key to harmony, both in the workplace and at home, is to be yourself, so that when you wake up in the morning, you cannot wait to go to work. And when you're done with work, you cannot wait to come home.
Right. And I'm gonna throw something in here. We're not talking about a boss fix issue. We're not
right.
talking about achieving harmony by, you know, fixing the boss so that they give you more time off. That's a different
exactly.
level of reality. I think what we're aiming for here is something more along the lines of right livelihood,
mm-hmm.
and having a feeling that if you have multiple interests, that you can transition from one to the other, and
mm-hmm.
you don't say, I hate my job. If you hate your job, you need to get a new job. And that's something that not, you know, that there's no, you know, well, you might use a little bit of crucible of courage and a little crown of success and try to find a new job. But it really is in your mind as well. If you hate your job, time to think about how you're going to get a job you love. And it may not be in the spiritual world. It may be that you're working at McDonald's, but you really like fine food and you'd like to work at that lovely Tuscan bistro. Go work at the lovely Tuscan bistro, you know.
Exactly.
In other words, set yourself to go to where you want to go. But because many people have only one interest in life. I'm not one of those. I have many, many interests in life.
Right.
Those who have one interest usually like to have their work and their home life be in harmony. Those who have many interests can sort of spread it out. I'll go do this. I'll go do the academic thing here. I'll go do the genealogy research there. I'll build the model trains here. I'll have, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And those people have it a little easier because there's always something to intrigue them. But most people end up resenting their jobs. And what I'm trying to say is that, first of all, you have to have the right job. Second of all, you have to bring harmony. Now, we could talk about things like peace water, which I believe it was Logan. Somebody in the chat room a ways back up there said peace water, and that's so true. Using root work techniques to bring harmony to the job is essential if the job is not exactly harmonious. If there are drama people, if there are difficulties, you know, people who lose their temper, feed them, you know, good, you know, feed them some sugary caffeine and make them happy. You know, do whatever you have to do. But a lot of us use candles. And I'm going to say something just real quick about this. We often talk about using candles that are, you know, glass encased candles to back up the work. That phrase, to back up the work, is an old phrase. Have you ever thought about going to work and burning a candle at home to back up your work at work? Think about it. Mm-hmm. Let this day be a beautiful and pleasant day. And and, you know, get a nice candle going for success or something like that, and let it be burning to strengthen the good feelings on the job. Many people call me, and they never thought of doing that. They're all about, how do I get this person transferred, fired, or run over by a truck?
That is so true. And I just want to say one thing real quick, is what you said right there is really important. Harmony starts with your attitude. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like when you said if you resent your job. Look, not everyone is happy in a 9-to-5 job, but you are going to get what you put into it. And it's the same thing with anything, right? People come to me and go, I hate school. I can't stand it. I can't wait to get out of there. And I'm the exact opposite. I'm like, I love school. I've always loved school. But you get what you get depending on what you desire to put into it and what you choose to take out of it. It's entirely up to you. If you want your work to be harmonious, you have to go in there with a certain set. If you go in there with a sense of antagonism and resentment, that truly bleeds over into the work you're doing, into the actions that you're doing, and it causes chaos. If you want harmony at home and if you want harmony at work, before anything else, it starts with you being the center of that harmony. And that's very, very important, being mindful of what you take into your job and what you take home with you. Because once you start to be mindful of that, you can make any job harmonious. You really can.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to add something to that.
Okay, go ahead. Let me just pick up a couple of things from the chat room. Apollo Zero, I don't know how you pronounce this, says, I used to plant things in the garden where I used to work. It worked wonders.
Mm-hmm.
That is really a good one. And also bringing food, hoodoo food, harmonious office shortbread was a prize winner in the Conjure Cook-Offs, and everybody loved it. It really tasted good, and it was made with prayer. Just get the Hoodoo Food Cookbook, and you'll read all about it. Okay, Elvira, I'm sorry. No.
This is, you know, kind of like I'm used to letting everybody talk, and I just decided I had to jump in because before our time goes to, you know, our break, something that Ali had said about the journey. And I think that's really the most important thing. I've heard, you know, each of us talk and all that. It's how we do the journey from one place to another, whether it's work to home, home to work, one job to another job, crappy job to better job. It's taking that as a part. We forget that we are so goal-orientated that we forget, you know, instead of driving from here to San Diego and not looking at anything, we look at the things. Even if we're driving, we look at the scenery, we observe, we intake those things. And that's, I think, the big part of how to harmonize. I mean, in our home, if there's dissension and everything, I understand, and that's another whole other place to go in discussion. But if we're trying to put work and home or place of safety and place where we rest to where we work, and see the journey. I think it's just as you have said, using some of the hoodoo techniques, some of the magical techniques, rethinking what you do when you do it, just like I mentioned before about shredding. You know, when I started my job at the lumber company, I started as file clerk, and I was having a horrible time with a relationship that had broken up, and I felt my world was devastated. So I was in the file room spending most of my time crying as I'm filing things, but then it was like putting things in order. I began to use that as a way to put myself in order and get things, you know, clearer. And rather than get confrontational, which is, I think, you know, the fight or flight, usually most people go into fight as the confrontational way to deal with it because they can't fly and run away. Rather stand and move through it and become part of the flow. And that's what I needed to say.
Yeah. I just posted a link for the Hoodoo Food Cookbook, and there's some good things in there. One of the things that people love to do at an office is to share food with their friends, but they don't usually share food with everybody unless the office is such or the job site is such that there are usually a bunch of females who like to arrange for parties. And singing together and eating together are things that build strength in an office. You know, singing happy birthday and having a little Halloween party or whatever. Be sure you're the one who brings the good harmonious food. Use the herbs that you know work for harmony and peace. Use the recipes from the Hoodoo Food Cookbook. There's a lot of them, and they are very good recipes. There are some that are traditional for use in bringing people to peace and happiness. Some of them are for love, and you can try to tone down the sexual aspects and make them just be for peaceful love, friendship, allegiance. And another thing that was mentioned before, and I want to get back to this, is plants.
Yes.
Plants around the place. If you live in a place where you have some plants around you and you have a green thumb, and the place where you work has even just a little bit of area where you can garden a little bit, well, don't make a big deal about it. I'm planting a garden here. Just stick some plants in and let people enjoy what comes of it. And just take responsibility for making the environment peaceful. People will be peaceful. When you are with others, be sensitive also to what they bring to the workplace. Some of them are coming from positions of anger, grief, loss, depression. Right? And think about, what can you do to help? Well, maybe you can knit them some socks. And I know this sounds as Pollyanna as anything, but Aura LaForest, in her on her Facebook page on spiritual baths and stuff, showed herself knitting some socks. She showed the socks, and then she goes, now that the socks have been knit, we're going to soak them in some bath crystals for whatever purpose it was. You know, you could do it for love, you could do it for harmony, you could do it for peace, for healing, and give somebody something, a sneaky trick that is prepared just for them to make their life better. K.S. Witten says basil and rosemary make great room and linen sprays. And, of course, Nagashiva says sugar packets all around. And I've certainly mentioned that many times. Steal the sugar packets from the break room, take them home, put them in a jar of sugar with the names of all your coworkers, and then unsteal them, that is, put them back so that people will open those sugar packets. And you can use it even with these synthetic sweeteners if you have to.
You know,
the easiest things.
I think one of the misconceptions about doing root work or any type of magical work is that people don't know the definition of power. And no one can accuse me of being overly gentle. Let's be honest, right? I take on some of the harder works at AIR. I do some of the more coercive work. But one of the things that I've always had to tell clients, and this comes to anything, not just this case, but in love cases and everything, is that applications of power are not just about browbeating someone or taking a big stick and just whacking them over the head over and over again. That's not a smart tactic to take. People think that because you can light a candle or work magic that you should automatically do something harsh, because harsh equals powerful. And that's not true. True power can be very subtle. Some of the most powerful people in the world can get you to do what they want without you even realizing it. and they do it with darling, sweetie, and honey, and it's all they have to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important to understand, because if you want to be influential in your work environment, and that's perfectly fine to do, it's not about dominating the people around you, right? But it's about being in a position where everyone respects what you say. Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I could go on and on about bye-bye language, but I'll just briefly say that women are better at bye-bye language than men. And bye-bye language was something that was taught to me by a guy who had been an Army linguist, and his name was Ken Pierce. And he had identified female office speech as bye-bye language, and I asked what he meant. And he goes, you know, when you're about to hang up, they go, bye-bye now. Men don't do that in an office. They go, thanks for calling. No. Right? But women go, bye-bye. And bye-bye is mothery and cooing language. But it's also very useful in making people feel at home and comforted. I try to teach people to coo to customers. Why not? No, nothing is harmed by a little bye-bye language. Some people are more natural at it. It's sometimes hard for some tough guys to be cool, but they can learn to coo a little bit. We're all just mammals after all.
A little bit of velvet will get you very far.
Yeah, a little bit of bye-bye language. You know, it's always good for you. And another thing that that Nagashiva posted in the chat room, and I did forget to mention it, in working with plants and stuff, do make apple spells or onion spells in the bottom of those.
Mm-hmm.
You can read about those in my book, Hoodoo Urban Root Magic. Just look under A for apple, and you will find how to make a spell in an apple, how to put the apple in the dirt, either in a pot or in the actual ground. And as the plant grows, it will grow into the apple and it will take in all of the things that you put in the apple. It's a perfect way to work if you can get plants in the neighborhood of the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I mean, this is, again, a subject that we're really talking here about more than just spells. We're talking about lifestyle choices. So I want to encourage everybody who's listened to this little panel discussion, think about what is disharmonious between your home and your work, and work on this year, thinking, I'm going to bring the two in alignment if I can.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You're listening to Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, and we'll be back right after a break, and we'll start taking our first readings of the afternoon and evening.
Y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali. And this week's special guest, Miss Elvira, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. That's 818-394-8535. If you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now once again to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phone and take our first new client. And our first new client is calling in from area code 951. This is Sandra. Sandra, are you there, caller? Sandra?
Uh-oh.
Hello?
Uh-oh, we may have to move on past Sandra. That's too bad because Sandra had put you...
I'm here.
Okay, great. Hi. Okay, super duper. Okay, great. I'm going to go ahead and remind Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali that you actually are one of their clients that you had called them for a quick yes or no reading in the past, and but this is in, with regard to something that's completely different. And she writes, I'm a single mom, unemployed, never been married by choice. I've had my dream careers without being formally educated. I've never found a man who can handle me. I come from a long line of naturally powerful women. I know root work is what I've been searching for, but I'm at a complete standstill there. I have searched obsessively for the truth in cults, religion, witchcraft, and science. I feel I'm being blocked in motivation, and I don't feel connected to my 8-year-old son. Is my fear blocking me from taking this step or the next step in life? Is there an ancestor around me that can guide me? Turning it back over to you.
All right. I have one question, because one thing stood out for me on this, and that is you said you don't feel connected to your 8-year-old son. Does your son live with you?
Yes, he does. And I want to clarify, I do feel connected. I love him. He's so loved. But on a spiritual level, I feel blocked. I don't take him out as much. I feel like I could be a better mother, but I'm just so not motivated. There's just something going on.
Okay. The reason I ask is I just want to make sure that I understand the parameters of the situation here. All right. So I'm going to do a little reading on this, but I think that I'm going to try to keep the reading a little short, because it really seems like what you're asking for primarily is some answers. In other words, going from reader to reader and asking, is there something wrong, and being told, yes, there is something wrong, probably will not be of benefit to you. Because what you need to do is to start working to get this together.
Right. And the problem is that it was edited out, and that's not a problem, but I would like to clarify that I've been suppressing all my powers and all my intuitions for years, and because of root work, it's finally coming up. And I think because I've been so afraid of this power, like right now I'm just shaking because I'm just so overwhelmed, I can't control it as much, and I think maybe that might be part of the block that I have.
Let me again, I want to make sure that I understand and that our listeners understand. You're feeling that you have a lot of power, but you also feel blocked from that power? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to tell you from my experience of 50 years as a reader and root worker that God usually doesn't give us powers that we cannot work with. And that the drama of too much power or power that is misapplied is a human drama. It is not a spiritual drama. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that it often is actually the result of something going on other than the fact that you have spiritual power. Okay, so to put this very bluntly, and I'm going to be blunt, I'm always blunt, I think everyone knows this by now. God is not a fiction writer. God is not setting up characters and then saying, I'll put some obstacles in their path, and then they'll have to overcome these. Oh, then they'll have too much power, and that'll be dramatic, and then they'll lose all their power. No, God is not writing comic books. Listen to me. God is not writing comic books. And I know this because I've worked in the comic book business for over a quarter century. And I know that the drama of comic books or films that are based on comic books is not what this world is about. And when you have those emotions and those feelings, to the extent that you have them, you are less in touch with the world that God made. And I really say this from the bottom of my heart. What God gave us was something quite different. It's a world of birth and nurturing and growth and help. There is evil in the world, and we don't even know. Different religions will tell us where that evil came from, but we know there's evil. There are evil people in the world. There are good people who help. There are evil people who hurt. And we make our own way, and in the end, we do the best we can. But the giant coming-of-age story in which you're bitten by a radioactive spider and or something else, that is childish fiction. And the story of the person who all of a sudden realizes that they have telepathic powers that beyond the wildest... No, this is not what's happening to you, honey.
No, I understand that.
The reason I say this is, you're right, I'm quoting you, I have searched obsessively for truth in cults, religion, witchcraft, and science.
Yes.
I think that this is part of the problem. Searching obsessively for truth in cults, religion, witchcraft, and science may be a function of your mentality and not a function of the fact that truth is hidden. Truth is right here. So I'm going to now read three cards. And I'm going to be, as I said, I sense here that there are some issues, and the issues may be mentally inside yourself more than being cursed or any such a thing. Okay. So the first card I have, and I hate to say, because it's one of these I told you so cards, because it comes from, it's like, I couldn't, you know, I was talking, then I cut my deck, and oh boy, you know, I love it when my deck kind of tells me exactly what I was telling you, but I was telling you in a nicer way. The card is the moon. And the moon is a dog and a wolf howling at the moon, but they don't get anywhere. And this is a card of making extremity choices, the domestic dog, the wild wolf, and wanting something that actually is not there, the moon. It's sometimes called the card of unfulfilled desires, and it also can be called a card of mental stressors, bipolar, up and down, people who get... PMS once a month, or people who have are affected literally by the moon. When the moon is full, they become more hyper or anxious or whatever it may be. It is not a great card for the individual who gets it. I mean, we always think of the moon as a very beautiful thing, but this is not, in this deck, the moon is a card of extremities and imbalances that need to be dealt with. The next card is called the King of Wands. And this is a card of sanity and health and a card of a helper. This king is looking to the left and observing the scene under the moon. And when we get this card, the health cards, the wands cards, always represent helpers and getting your mind into a good place. They are fire cards. If there is anyone who is a stabilizing influence in your life, a stabilizing influence, I should say, I would recommend dealing with such a person. It also says to me that there may be some exercise, dance, or anything of the physical body may help you feeling less stuck. When people don't walk, work, move their bodies, sing, dance, and do the things that we as primate animals traditionally have and should do, we tend to become more and more like caged animals in our little urban environments that are difficult for us. So when you say that you're not motivated to be with your son, I'm feeling that you need more physical activity. And the King of Wands is a card of good physical exercise and good diet, getting a doctor or medical person involved in planning your life would probably be a good thing. And the third card is a card of some difficulties, and I hate to say this because I wanted to end on a happy, happy card, but I got a little problem here.
Mm-hmm.
And the card is called the Fool. And the Fool is a person who is walking out with a white rose, like, I'm undertaking new, exciting adventures of a spiritual nature, but is about to step over a cliff. And there's a little white dog barking out a warning, watch out, you're about to step over a cliff. But the Fool doesn't look. Now, the Fool doesn't necessarily die. They don't fall 5,000 feet and are crushed at the bottom of the cliff. They might only stumble and fall 5 feet. We can't see. We just see where they're about to step over this edge. So this is a card of warning, and it tells me, pay attention. You called, and you may not pay attention to what I just said. You may not pay attention to... Oh, good. Okay. Because what I'm saying here is imbalance. That's the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Ups and downs. Imbalances. Then I'm saying, what has got you stuck in stuff? There's no curse. It's not a cursing thing. It's not someone trying to destroy you. You need to be more fully inhabiting your body. Your medical health needs to be looked at. Your spiritual environment. All of these things. You probably would do well to have a helper in that regard. And the Fool says to me, you may search for someone else again later, but you have been told, I told you as well as I can, that if you keep on moving from one thing to another, and I'm not saying, for instance, that African-American hoodoo is the be-all and end-all for you. It may not be.
Mm-hmm.
But, a stability that's lacking here. What sign are you, dear?
I'm a Gemini.
That's right. That's what I thought. So Gemini is a sign that has many, many talents, but has a hard time focusing on one thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I would say, look before you leap, says K.S. Witten, and that is my advice to you. Let me turn this over to Elvira and see what she has to say.
Thank you.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi.
I've been listening. And I have one question. I guess it's because it stuck out. You said you built a superconductor based off of the Ark of the Covenant. What do you do with that superconductor?
I'm going to summarize years of research, but what it does is it burns gold. It actually literally shatters the atoms of gold, and it creates a material that is supposed to, when you drink it, and this is, like I said, here's the research, and it sounds crazy saying it, but it's supposed to move up your light bodies, up your chakras, and it's supposed to enlighten your pineal gland. And
okay.
So when it's
okay.
I did drink it.
Let's let Elvira do the reading. Okay.
Okay.
You got your answer, Elvira.
I wanted to find it because that's what I get from the cards I pulled. There is a coordination with what Kat has said. Part of what's going on is the fear to be in your body, the fear to be in the body, physically with the body, and all the things that do the body stuff. And it's much nicer to be in the light body and to raise vibration. It's not to say you can't. Just like we were talking about at the beginning,
yes,
about home and work, you know, like,
yes,
those two worlds, this is the physical world and the spirit world, and what you're doing is you're moving, you're trying to stay by researching and doing all these other things, trying to get out of the body. And the death rebirth card is here, along with the Ten of Cups. So to me, what you're trying to do is do this death rebirth and be happy. And what you really need to do is, being with your son is going to be putting you in your body here, hanging out with him or doing something with him. Go to the exploratorium. Do something that you can take your research side and put it to use. But be with him, because you know what? Kids are the thing that ground us. I just luckily had my granddaughter's fourth birthday, and that was a real grounding experience with all the kids and everything. But I do remember the one thing that I came away with is going, wow, that's all this energy from these young people, these kids, and this is what you need to put that energy and use here. And what you keep doing is trying to spend your energy quickly because you don't want to stay here. You want to get as far away from the physical world as possible. And these cards tell me specifically that the Wheel of Fortune is work here, turn the wheel here. And there may be an ancestor, a male ancestor, that you can work with, along with the male energy that is embodied in someone here as a worker or a helper. But it's more about the, you know, the be here now. It's this moment, and then spirit will come when you're not looking for it, when you're not expecting it. That's it. That's where I come from.
All right. Thank you, Elvira, and thank you for asking those extra questions and getting into this deeper. Let's go to Ali and see what he can recommend.
I'm sorry. I have to say something. Benjamin Ali, do you know who I am? I'm Sandra.
Perhaps.
Conjurman Ali and I don't know if you want to read for me. I've been banned with this.
No, he's not going to. Okay, wait. Hold on. Stop right here. Conjurman
Ali, I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
He's not going to read for you. He's going to give you some root work advice. Go ahead now.
Okay.
What was it you wanted to say to him?
I don't know if he would want to speak with. No, maybe I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Can you just continue?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to continue.
Okay. So, Conjurman Ali, can you give her some root work advice? I take it that there is a history between the two of you.
It's possible. I'm not sure entirely, but I'm happy to give root work advice.
Okay.
What I would recommend in a situation like this, especially since a helper of some sort is needed, is to do some work to draw that helper in. What I would say is start off with a nice cleansing bath, something to help you calm yourself, to heal the heart, to be in your body, as Miss Elvira mentioned. What I would say is start off with rue, lavender, basil, and bay.
Okay, I'm writing it down. Thank you.
Brew this into a tea and bathe with it from head to toe.
Okay.
Do this for 5 days. On the 5th day, what I want you to do is light yourself a white candle, pray Psalm 23, and from the bottom of your heart, ask Spirit to bring to you, whether it's your ancestor, a healer, a guardian, protect.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a simple working, but if you do this, it can help move you forward. Now, I don't want to give too much work advice. I say this very specifically because you may not end up doing root work, and that's perfectly fine. Whatever tradition you end up walking in, whatever path you end up doing, that's entirely your decision. But this is simple work. It's not work that you have to be a professional root work for. It's not work that you need to be an expert in. But start off with this and be open. Open your mind up to what spirit brings to you. Open your mind up to what helper may appear before you. It may be someone unexpected.
Huh.
I think what Kat said with the King of Wands is very important. It indicates that this helper that appears before you may not be... It may end up being a doctor. So keep your mind open
to
that.
Okay.
It may not be a spiritual practitioner, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you very much for saying that, Ali. And I think that's what I was saying, too. I think you may need some medical help. And I don't mean that in any mean way, but I think that there is something going on with your mind that is a little out of your control, and you need some help.
Thank you very much.
Let's take a break.
Yes, and support for this. Hello? I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. Y'all, support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is actually calling back in to us from the great city of Atlanta, Georgia, from area code 678. This is Linus C. Linus C., are you there, caller?
I'm here.
Great. Well, welcome back to the show, and thank you so much for being a loyal listener. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that you called in around June. And let's see here, and that you have not yet gone to any other readers or root workers other than Ms. Kat or Conjure Man Ali, but you did have a private reading with one of them, according to what I'm reading here, in mid-September, okay? Here we go. Actually, you did go to Michelle Jackson, I beg your pardon. Once again, you went to Michelle Jackson, okay, in mid-September. Okay, in the brief situation of your situation, and she writes, just with like a brief outlook on a possible partnership with an artist on a book that I've written. I was told by Conjure Man Ali that a future partner may be coming that is a Leo, and I have been getting some signs. Also, an investment that I have made and should have a return on soon. I've been burning candles to remove negative energy. Also, we would like to work on self-love. I was told that there was a bit around me, but nothing being done against me. Turning it back over to you.
All right. So the first reading here will be by Ali, and since Ali has read for you before, that's going to make it much easier. And so, Ali, let's turn this over to you.
Works out perfectly.
Hi.
If you don't mind me asking, let me just clarify, because you're talking about investments, you're talking about a partnership for a book that you've written, but at the end
yes.
of the day, you're asking about this love that we foresaw coming into your life, right?
Yes. I'm thinking
right.
that it's, but I'm not sure.
Gotcha. And you've seen some signs from this, right?
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I can tell you that you're on the money here. We have the Three of Pentacles is the first card that I get. And the Three of Pentacles shows us an individual, an artist of sorts, who is working on a cathedral, and there are two people that are watching, an architect and a monk. And these are the people that are guiding them. This person is an artist of sorts, so you are currently working with an artist that is a partner or your potential partner there. So I do see a connection there. I also see two individuals who are guiding. These would be your counselors. These are your advisors. These are the people that you have turned to. In this case, you've had a reading in the past with me and other root workers, and this is an indication that you are not being steered wrong, that you are being guided in the correct fashion, and that your intuition and the signs that you're seeing are definitely leading you in the right direction. I should note, though, that the Three of Pentacles also mentions this endeavor of yours. While it may be artistically wonderful and it may be a great accomplishment on your end, writing a book, this is the Pentacle card that does not have any golden coins in it. And this is an indication that this endeavor may not be one of lots of money, but more a sense of accomplishment, a work of mastery, and a work of art. So just bear that in mind. The next card that I have here is the Page of Swords. The Page of Swords shows us an individual on a hill. They're looking over their shoulder, their sword is raised, and the wind behind them is blowing things in disarray. It is a bit of a chaotic card, and it indicates here that there are still some forces around you that are not entirely settled. This can result from you yourself being unsure of where you're headed. This individual, the Page of Swords, is moving forward, but one foot is dragging behind, and they're turning their head to look over their shoulder. And that's very important to realize. It means that that you're not entirely ready to move forward, that there's still something, there's some self-doubt, there's still certain factors involved here that you need to be aware of. if you want to progress forward, if you want to find love, if you want to move forward in your life, you need to turn your head and face forward confidently. Go forward without doubt. Go forward without hesitation. And don't vacillate on this, okay? So the Page of Swords is it's an all right card, but it's a card that comes with a bit of warning. And the warning here is to, in order to settle the energy around you, in order to settle onto the path that you're truly walking, you need to walk forward with certainty and with confidence. And the final card that I have is a card of accomplishment and success. It is the confidence that you need. It is the World card. Here is a beautiful woman who is dancing nude in the sky, and she's surrounded by a wreath of victory, a wreath of accomplishment. And around her are four animals, the bull of Taurus, the lion of Leo, which we've mentioned, the eagle, who is, at times represents Aquarius in alchemical, Scorpio in alchemical correspondence, and the human of Aquarius. And so this is an indication of victory and success, and you finally achieving what you want, both in terms of the investment that you have, as well as emotionally. However, it only comes once the woman has reached her full potential, once she comes into her own in confidence, when she comes into her own. And so it's important for you to take the message of the Page of Swords, prepare yourself for the path before, walk forward with a sure foot, and know that you will accomplish what you desire and achieve the love that was predicted for you and get the return on the investment that you so desire. The World card is a card of victory, and so I do see a good end to this, okay?
Okay.
So, all right. So our next reading will be from Elvira.
All right. Well, interesting that one of the cards that I pulled as we were going along was the Leo card, strength, which is, the process here of risk. And what I do see, to back up, obviously, Contraband Ali, is that your own fear is, you're trying, there's a sense of self deception here to, that tied you up a tad from fear, and that's more of the slow process, because what you have is the Eight of Pentacles, which, again, your project with the money, the investment, this connected with this other individual, you're kind of tying things together in such a way that you've got two areas you're concerned about and two areas that have fear. What I will say is the fact that I have the Four of Wands, the Four of Pentacles, the Four of Swords, and the Four of Cups. So I would say right now, if you're looking at a cycle or a time frame, you've got an element of four, possibly using the four elements to work on releasing your energies that have been keeping you kind of pulled back and moving forward, and something to do with possibly by April, the fourth month, four cycle, where you will see this thing really blossom, like in springtime.
Wow.
All right. Okay. So we're getting basically good readings, but there is some self-doubt. Now, what I'm going to do is suggest some root work and then see what else we can get going on here. You asked a lot of questions, and normally that is not the best way to approach us because we only have a certain amount of time here.
Mm-hmm.
So we have many things, and it's almost as if you want to blend them all into one. And I'd like to suggest that you look at each one separately. So an artist partnership with an artist on a book you have written. Okay, that is an area about expression, about the card of the World, for instance. This is a thing where you want to work on success and courage and herbs like yarrow and bay for your mind, and possibly mm-hmm. some money drawing, because you do want to make a little money off the book, or at least crown of success for fame. Then you have another thing going on here, which is an investment you've made, which you should have a return on soon. Well, that's strictly money drawing and pay me products, and there's a lot of ways to work those. But I wouldn't tie the book project to the success of that other project. I would ask you to do different works on those. With the investment, I want you to take all the investment papers, anything you've got, the names of people, put in a little sugar, a little money drawing, a little attraction, a little pay me, a little crown of success, whatever, something all good, wealthy way, things like that. Burn some candles on that and carry perhaps a little work on at your altar. The other one, the book, is something I want you to carry with you on your person. And then you also said you've been burning candles to remove negative energy and to work on self-love. Well, that's two more different things. To remove negative energy, you would want to be working, you know, on the dark of the moon, as the moon is darkening or as night is coming on. And, you know, you want to be bathing downward to take off these cross conditions and negative energies. You want to be doing spiritual cleansing. To do self-love is the opposite. You're going to be bathing upward. You're going to be drawing in the beauty of the universe, the beauty of all earth into you. So you've got, now I've got four things going on. And I want you to separate these, even to the point of making four separate workings. Okay? For the book, a good old-fashioned attraction and drawing spell, something where you have some of your writing out, you put these attractant type of you know, oils on, you know, like look me over, money drawing and so forth, on a candle, burn that on some of the pages of the book, you know, or copies thereof. And maybe even put in some of your prayers for success. Wrap the paper up with some herbs that are representative of money drawing, like five finger grass to get people to give you favors and things like that. Cloves are always good for partnerships and friends. A little bit of grated up nutmeg and stuff like that. Make a little packet. That becomes something you can carry. When that is done, you got it on you. You want to put a coin in there too, because it's going to be for a money drawing type of situation. Right? So that is one thing. That's a mojo bag. You could just use any kind of Crown of Success mojo bag that was pre-made, like the kinds that we make at Lucky Mojo, and you could personalize it by adding your own stuff to it. Okay. The second one, a future partner. Now, I presume this is a love partner. Okay. So you'd want to be doing love baths. And Ali has often given love baths, and maybe he can jump in with the juniper berries and the what was it? The honey, the milk, and the rose petals,
yes.
And I'm missing something.
Honey and milk and rose petals. Juniper berry is actually not one that I recommended, but it's a great addition.
Oh,
really,
okay.
Is.
So that's one I like.
Because,
sorry.
Yeah, juniper berries, I think one of the great things about them and why it would be such a great addition to a bath is because it deals directly with that page of swords, right? Juniper berries is great for making people, not just encouraging love, but it's also good at helping people willing to love, right? So encouraging men and women to be willing to love. And so I think that helps with that page of swords. I think that's great. In addition to the milk and the honey and the rose petals.
Okay, so that's a whole other one. Now we got the investment. So for the investment, like I said, that to me would be some papers relating to that and a candle spell. Then we have the removing negative energy and working on self-love. First of all, break those up. So now we have five different things going on here, right? Removing negative energy and working on self-love are not one act. Those are two different acts.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never been really clear about what self-love is myself. I have to explain here. I'm a very literal-minded person. And back in the 70s when they were talking about, you can't love anybody unless you love yourself, I'd go, what the fuck are they talking about? So I'm the wrong person to recommend any spells for self-love because it never occurred to me. I mean, what? I just don't get it. So I'm going to turn this over to, and I know there are people who experience self-loathing, but I'm not one of them, and I just don't get it. So when I understand removing negative energy, bad thoughts, oh, I keep on thinking, oh, I'm fucking up, or I'm messing up, or I'm not doing well, but I don't understand working on self-love. So I'm going to turn this over to somebody else. One of you other guys, give her a spell for self-love, because I don't do that.
Well, I would work on, actually what I would do is I would work on pampering, you know, to, part of it is removing just that, the self-doubt. So I would do something rather simplistic in that I would say write out your, you know, the things you fear that you have about yourself or the things that you fear are in you that you, you know, are, you're less than. And then I want you to burn it and I want you to take those ashes and go away and throw them in a trash can somewhere. And then I want you to come back and I want you to get into a bath, and that bath can be a, put in rose water, put in some salt, some rosemary, cinnamon, you know, cinnamony and rosemary kind of oils, and not too much because the cinnamon and the rosemary are a little harsher, but a little drop, just something to bring in the fiery energy of love back into your life, back into yourself, and be with that, and that takes the water, takes the fire. And then definitely I would look at yourself in the mirror, and, you know, there's an old meditation of looking into your eyes. It's very hard at first, but you look into your eyes in the mirror and you look deep into your own soul and see the spark that is your soul deep in yourself. And that would be turning it back into yourself, so moving it back to yourself. That would be what I would suggest for that.
The only
catch up with the chat room. Logan 1965, hot cocoa, and I'm going to say chocolate. Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I got what you were saying, Elvira, about looking at yourself in the mirror. I've done that. You look at yourself in the mirror and smile. I know it sounds really dumb, but you look at yourself in the mirror and smile, and you go, all is right with the world. But you see, different people have different set points. My set point is to be confident and alive, alert, aware, and forward-directed.
Yeah.
That's my set point.
I know where you're coming from.
And other people's set point is much lower, so thank you for that advice. Okay, Ali, turning it back over to you.
You know, I know what you're talking about. I don't spend a lot of time looking in the mirror smiling at myself. I think if people did that more often, it can have it's a very small thing to do. I really love that suggestion, because it can make a very serious impact. It can. You know, I'm a firm believer that if we all smiled more, the world would be a better place. But what I would recommend also, in addition to the excellent suggestions that you've been given by Ms. Elvira and Ms. Kat, is a mojo bag. An emoji bag that is created after around three things: Queen Elizabeth Rue, Master Rue, and Angelica. Three very powerful elements that you put in the mojo bag with some five-finger grass, bay, carry that with you. That's great for power, that's great for confidence, and that's great for victory to help move you forward and succeed in all the things that you do.
Beautiful, and I would add yarrow for courage.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that is a great little pile of herbs. It makes a really nice combination for power, for self-confidence, and Ali, thank you for nailing that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go back again to the idea of self-love. Some people, for instance, I wasn't joking when I said chocolate. Chocolate is particularly effective for females, and so is caffeine. And I'm going to say something that sounds it doesn't sound like Little Miss Hoodoo here. I drink coffee every day. It has been found through studies, scientific studies, that women who drink a cup of coffee to two cups of coffee per day have 50% less suicide rate than women who do not drink one to two cups of coffee per day. More than two cups will not help, and this does not help men. This is women. So always drink a cup of coffee every day. That will raise your self-confidence. Okay. All right. Now, this is the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Work Hour and brought to you by the Coffee Board. And we're going to be coming back after our break with a free spell from Miss Elvira. And when we come back, she'll tell us all to do about harmony between the home and the workplace.
That's right. And y'all, please join us on the LMC Radio Network here on Blog Talk Radio. We start the week on Sundays with the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with Conjurman Ali and Miss K. Catherine Ironwood. On Monday, we have Candelo's Corner with Candelo Cambisa and Ancestor Healing. Tuesdays, it's the Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, followed by In the Streets with Beverly Smith. Wednesday, Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston. Thursdays, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield. And on Saturday, from 12 to 1:30, please join Kyra Mund with On Sacred Ground. All are available through the LMC Radio Network and the LMC Radio LMCRadioNetwork.com. So tune in, y'all, each week and join us for all of our great shows here. Now we're going to go ahead and turn this over to Miss Elvira of MissElvira.com. Rather, Elvira.com, my goodness. Elvira.com in Forestville, California, my friend.
Okay.
Wonderful free soul section. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, I would like to have the suggest. Well, what I'd like to do is use a candle for the home and a candle for the for work. And what I would like is you can do a 7-knob candle and burn it each one for 7, you know, for one day. Take some flaxseed and make a figure eight around each of those candles so that it comes around so you've actually connected them by a figure eight. I would like to then have another situation where you take some 3 cloves of garlic, 3 rose petals, and 3 gold coins. Put that over in the section that has around the candle for work. And then I would like you to take my brain just went left and left everybody alone. A little bit of alum. I'd like you to take it and put it around the comb candle, and then go ahead and burn the 2 candles as you go down for 7 days. When you're done, take and sweep the side that is around the home candle with all of the coins and everything, and then the other one with your work candle, and make a mojo bag and put in a lodestone in each one, and then take and put the one for work with you at work. Carry it if you can, put it in your drawer or carry it in your briefcase. The other one, please plant at your front door somewhere, like maybe in a drawer of a table that's at your front door.
So let me see if I understood this right. You're making, you got 2 candles, one for home and one for work.
Yes.
You got a figure eight that you've made out of what?
Flaxseed.
Flaxseed. Okay. All right. Now, we've got the flaxseed figure eight. Then we've got in the work area, you have which 3 things?
3 coins, 3 rose petals, and 3 garlic cloves.
Okay. And in the home, you have?
Just the alum as a powder around the candle itself. That's to absorb negativity that would be coming in.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, when the candles have burned, you then sweep all of this together, the flax seeds, the garlic, the rose petals, and the alum. And
okay, what you would do is you would take it where the crossover point is, separate it so that the ones that are around the home are with the alum, and the ones that are around the work are with the coins and the rose petals and the cloves. Then you'll make those into mojo bags, and you'll put a lodestone in each one, and if they don't have a lodestone, they can use a magnet.
I see. And a lodestone in each one. Wow. Okay, got it. So this is good. I'm just trying to figure this out here. So what you've done is you've made basically 2 things connected as a figure eight. But when the candles are done, you separate them.
Yes.
And one goes to the work, and you can either bury it around the work or carry it to work or hide it in the office at the work, right? And the other one gets buried at the home or carried around the home or hidden around the home.
Exactly.
Wonderful. So, in a sense, you've burnt them in harmony, but then you've made a division between them.
Yes.
I love this. This is lovely. This is, in a way, reminiscent of some of these spells to separate people from other people. Ollie, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, so now I'm going to ask you a couple more questions because this is a very interesting spell, and I've never heard of one quite like this, and I'm kind of liking this. Then you put a lodestone with each one. It'll be a small, like a lodestone grit or something to that effect, not a big old lodestone, right?
No.
A little lodestone grit with each one so that each one draws its own, energy, as it
energy were. Into it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Got it.
But
so the one at home will consist of flaxseed, alum, and lodestone.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
And the one at the work will have coins, rose petals, garlic, and lodestone and flaxseed.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
wow.
Papa G, there's a question in the chat that I'd like to pose to you. How about tying all three together if you want to start working from home? Is that something you would recommend?
That's perfectly okay. This was set up where people had two separate locations they were going
gotcha.
To in that. If
mm-hmm.
it's all in one, then yes, all in one, of course. That would make
yes.
sense.
Beautiful.
Yes, that's
beautiful.
What I see. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking sweep them all together, but of course, you're saying if they are separate, keep them separate.
Right.
But and Papa G has brought this out. If you want to bring them into one, then it becomes one bag, one mojo bag, which you would carry with you. And it's also been asked in the chat room, what would this be dressed with or the candles be dressed with? Some suggest a peaceful home.
Mm-hmm. And for you know, because peaceful home for work is just as much for work. I mean, it's the concept of tranquility. But peaceful home, and then of course money draw would be for both because you want money to come into the home as well. But you obviously definitely want it for the workplace. I'm not really into the separation of one for one and one for the other because what I'm trying to do is tie them together in the fact that there's a balance between the two, but they also go to separate places. But
correct. And Nanda Shiva also mentioned steady work oil. And certainly if you were going to do one where you wanted to incorporate the two together, putting steady work and peaceful home together is a wonderful combination for people who want to work from home.
Exactly.
So what you've given us here is a plan from which one can make a personalized or very intuitively guided version of a whole spell family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's much going on here. Mm-hmm. And I really like this because the idea of cutting the two apart is something that would not occur to me, but it's something that many people do need to do. Now, why that alum? That is so fascinating because alum is very protective. It does absorb negativity, and it stills things. And mm-hmm. so that's really an interesting way to do it because, it produces a certain effect. But if you were to move them together to work from home, it would produce a very different effect.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. What
beautiful
a wonderful
working.
Spell.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole spell family.
It is.
It really is. And
which is why
people
I was
in the chat
it,
room.
It, you know, I felt like we needed family here when you get into these things.
Yeah, yeah. And people in the chat room are calling this brilliant, and I think that's a good thing. All right, let's turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee, and she's going to take us out of here.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. Thank you so much, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. And thank you, Miss Elvira of Elvira.com in Forestville, California, for being our special guest this week from here. And we invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Aura LaForest of AuraLaForest.com in Quebec. And once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. And you can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at LuckyMojo.com and Conjurman Ali at ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And the shows are available in archives via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Oh, thank you, Miss Tammy Lee. Now, I have a couple of quick announcements to make. Many of you remember Apollo Dark, used to work for Lucky Mojo. He has come back and is working at Missionary Independent Spiritual Church. He also has his own Apollo Dark practice. But if you need a reading with Apollo Dark, you can schedule now through Missionary Independent at missionaryindependent.org. He's back, listed again, used to be there, he's back. And we're so happy to have him back. Speaking of those that are back, we've now got someone who's new. Susan Barnes has been accepted for membership into AIR. And starting Tuesday, her page will be available at AIR, and you can book Susan Barnes' readings and root work through AIR. Okay? And the third announcement I want to make is that tickets for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival will be on sale in a couple of days. All right. Bye-bye, all.
Bye.
Goodbye, all.
Bye-bye.